Hello, and welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The EPA held a national PFAS summit in Washington Tuesday, diving into issues surrounding the per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances, which have contaminated groundwater in sites across the country, including 31 known sites here in Michigan. It drew representatives from state governments, tribes, environmental groups, and federal agencies. MLive's Garrett Ellison has been covering PFAS contamination in Michigan, and he was in D.C. for yesterday's summit. He's with us now via Skype. Garrett, what was the stated purpose of the summit?
Well, the purpose was to bring together everybody across the country who's involved in the PFAS contamination in states like Michigan, I guess, to get everybody in the same room and discuss some of the thorny issues related to the contamination, such as, do we set national standards? Do we regulate PFAS chemical by chemical or as a class? What's going on with this ATSDR study that's supposed to come out, was apparently headed off at the pass by EPA and the Pentagon. So things like that.
Yeah, we are going to talk about that report in a moment. It's interesting now we can get a chance from through you to hear what other states are saying about their issues and their concerns with the sites that they have that are contaminated with PFAS. What'd you hear?
Well, there was a lot of desire to develop some sort of national standard for PFAS, not just for the two most well-known, PFOS and PFOA, but some sort of exposure through drinking water and cleanup standard in terms of cleaning up contaminated sites for the different PFAS chemicals. You know, some states were there in kind of a leadership role, I guess, as it was called. Michigan Department of Environmental Quality Director Heidi Grether gave a presentation. Other states were there in the audience, and they were asking questions, and they were saying, like, look, you know, we like this idea of EPA moving forward with a maximum contaminant level for PFAS, similar to the action level for lead in drinking water, but that's probably going to take years. So you guys haven't even been able to pass an MCL since the 90s. So we're just going to go ahead and do it on our own. Thanks very much.
So, yeah, we can't wait for you is basically what you heard.
That was a lot of it, yeah.
Yeah. Now, we know Michigan with its 31 sites, as you just mentioned, DEQ Director Heidi Grether was there, also Michigan PFAS Action Response Team, MPART Chief Carol Isaacs. In fact, today MPART put out a release calling on the EPA to please move ahead with more research, more rules regarding PFAS contamination. What about at the summit yesterday, as other states are calling for action and saying, hey, we're going to do our own standards? What did these Michigan officials say?
Well, Michigan wants to see national standards, partly because they're having issues in Oscoda with Wurtsmith Air Force Base. There is a dispute going on right now between the DEQ and the Air Force related to the adequacy of cleanup in the Oscoda area around that former base where they used to fly nuclear bombs out of. So essentially, there's some push and pull going on between the state and the federal government related to getting the Air Force to do more there. And there's a formal dispute underway, and it's not clearing up pretty very quickly. And in fact, some people around the dispute think it may end up going to court. And having national standards is sort of seen as a way to force the federal government, in this case the military, to do more to clean up sites than, you know, having to force them to comply with state rules.
Was there any mention of creating our own standards here in Michigan, the way you heard from other states?
Not that I heard. I did hear Director Grether say she had a philosophical concern with states setting their own standards, and she sort of referenced it as a callback to her days as representing private industry. And she, you know, state by state regulation, I think she said, was a regulatory nightmare. That being said, you know, other states don't seem to maybe feel the same way or particularly care about that. New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection Commissioner Catherine McCabe stood up and announced the standards that New Jersey was prepared to set, and essentially said, look, you know, why should we wait for the EPA when we've got the science and the research done in our state to move forward with this? And our Safe Drinking Water Act essentially compels us to do that.
And did anyone from the EPA give any kind of timeline on new guidelines?
No. The Administrator Scott Pruitt announced that the process needs to begin, but the consensus was is that it could take years, a decade or more, for that to even happen, you know, for it to, from the process to begin to the point where the standards go into effect.
And now let's dive in, Garrett Ellison, to this report that you referenced, that we learned that the EPA's been sitting on this report for months now, a report that shows that the toxic PFAS pose like the danger to human health at much lower levels than what the EPA is currently telling the public. Emails released as a result of a Freedom of Information request show that the White House official warned that the release of this study would pose, and I'm quoting here, a public relations nightmare. Tell me, how was that addressed and answered at the meeting?
Well, it was sort of the elephant in the room coming into the summit, and it was addressed largely, audience members said, hey, we want to see this study. When's it going to come out? The head of the ATSDR said, look, we're conferring with our federal partners. You know, that means EPA and the Defense Department. And we're trying to get everybody on the same page. And I can't tell you exactly when that report's going to be released. But it was, you know, it was not as if it was not mentioned or anything. You know, there were many people there who wanted to see it. There's been lots of desire nationwide to see that because the emails essentially show that the ATSDR, which is the toxicology arm of the CDC, mm-hmm. is poised to recommend exposure levels that are much, much lower than what the EPA currently recommends right now.
In fact, yeah, I'm looking at your story for MLive from May 14th, and the headline, EPA's safe PFAS level is 6 times too high.
Right. I think we don't know all the details about the report, but I believe that email in which the report was called a public relations nightmare referenced one of them could be as low as 12 parts per trillion. And so that is much, much lower than the 70 parts per trillion health advisory level that the EPA currently uses, in which case, you know, that level is the thing that determines whether certain people get hooked up to alternative water supplies. In Oscoda, the Air Force won't do anything for you if you don't have PFAS in your water above that level. In the Rockford area, Wolverine Worldwide has used that level to determine in some cases whether you get a filtration system in your home or not. So those levels have very real world consequences.
I'm talking with MLive's Garrett Ellison about yesterday's National PFAS Summit that the EPA held in Washington. And Garrett, we know headlines were out there yesterday. The EPA would not allow reporters from the Associated Press and CNN into the summit. Guards forcibly shoved a female reporter out of the building. What did you see?
Well, I saw the shoving. I was actually on the phone at the time. You know, it sort of happened about 10 feet away from me, and I wasn't paying too much attention to it until I started hearing yelling, and I looked over and I saw an EPA guard sort of tussling with a blonde woman and saying, you need to get out of here. And you know, she forcibly ejected her from the building. And I was with another reporter from New Jersey, and we were like, you know, what's going on? And you know, the New Jersey reporter had, while I was on the phone, had gone over and tried to give the woman the contact for somebody at the EPA press office to say, you know, if you want to get access, you need to call this woman. And so I don't know exactly what happened there, although I did see it. And, you know, when the EPA press staff came to get us and escort us to the area where the summit was happening, we said, hey, you know, this just happened. We think that was an AP reporter. And the press officers for Pruitt's office just kind of shrugged at it and said, well, yeah, they weren't invited. And so while we were inside the event, folks or media that weren't allowed to be at the event were quite upset at that. And I believe that this helped prod the EPA in some ways to reverse course and allow those media into the event for the afternoon. They had essentially just allowed, I think, 10 reporters into the event, myself included, but we weren't allowed to stay past 9:40. So really just for the first hour. And then we were asked to leave. And so later on that afternoon, I found out they were letting us back in. So I went back in, and I'm glad I was able to go back in because that's where I was able to, you know, hear some very specific details on policy issues related to PFAS that a lot of people are asking about.
So did you hear anything that for anyone living around the contamination sites, can they take any encouragement from what happened yesterday?
I think so. You know, in terms of having PFAS added to the list of hazardous substances, that would give the EPA authority to require certain actions related to, for instance, the Wolverine Worldwide Tannery, where right now the EPA only has authority to look at contamination other than PFAS because the federal government doesn't have enforceable PFAS standards, but Michigan does. So right now it's sort of resulted in kind of an awkward coupling between state and federal enforcement related to the tanner in Rockford. That's being called cooperative federalism, you know, and that's a big thing right now between at the EPA, you know, working with states as partners rather than this sort of parent-child relationship that, you know, it's been characterized as in the past. But essentially, yeah, I think the having PFAS added to the list of hazardous substances will go a long way towards actual cleanup of contaminated sites, potentially.
MLive's Garrett Ellison, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Cindy.